Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Bishop Dr. Lawrence Mwamba with my wife, Tarina Mwamba, here in Dallas, Texas, the United States of America, broadcasting live on Blog Talk Radio on the Mwamba World Outreach School of Ministry. I welcome you all around the world, wherever you are, and thank you for participating and taking part in what we are doing here in Dallas. You know, this is an online school we have here in Dallas, Texas, which is known as the Word of Life Bible College, Dallas Campus. It's here in the United States of America, and we train men and women around the world. Right now, we have students in Zambia, students in Malawi, Tanzania, and in the United Kingdom. And we also have students here in the United States. Our aim is to train workers for the ministry, men and women who are going to bring a change to our current affairs in the world. We were training men to impact them with great faith messages, strong faith teaching, who are going to stand their ground against the aggression of the devil. And so, beloved ones, this is Bishop Mwamba, and we've been tackling or studying the book of Hebrews. And some of my recordings yesterday were not so very well done, as we had problems with our electronics. And so I thought, okay, today let's redo it again, see how our electronics are going to respond by God's grace. And so we're going to look into the book of Hebrews again. But I would like to ask you to pray wherever you are for the United States of America, because we are getting close to our general election, presidential and Senate elections, that is going to take place this coming November the 8th. And so we ask you, wherever you are, to ask God to move on behalf of the United States and cause the people to elect the person that God wants to be in the White House. And so, you know, your prayers will be very greatly valued, and we'll keep you abreast of what is going on here in the United States. And I know there are elections to take place in Zambia, and I know that God is working by His grace there too to get our President Lungu elected as president as well. I know there's this other opposition party led by HH. He has also been drawing a lot of crowds. But you know, when God has chosen somebody, He has chosen them, and that's it. People can try to do their own thing, but it will never work when God has chosen somebody to be president. We have had a great time with President Obama here in America, together with his wife Michelle Obama and their two kids, Malia and Sasha. It has been a blessing to see the first family walk the line, the walk of integrity. Like I saw today on Facebook, they were commending President Obama. That is the only president here in the United States of America for over 30 years without a scandal of any kind. Can you imagine? Without a scandal of any kind. And they said he's the only president who has got kids who are not drunkards. Oh, man, that is something. Well, dear friends, let's look into the Word of God today. We're going to look into the book of Hebrews, and we are studying on the life of Jesus Christ. The book of Hebrews, as you know, mainly is a book written to the Hebrews to make them make a decision to turn to the living God of Israel. Because, you see, here Paul is introducing Jesus more emphatically so that they can receive Him as Lord and Savior. You see, the Jews were still looking for somebody to come, a Messiah to come from some heaven. You know, they had been exposed to the ministry, like I said, of Elijah, of Elisha. People who raised the dead, they were exposed to ministries and great works of King David. They were exposed to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. They had seen great and mighty prophets come and go. And so when prophecies talked of a coming Messiah, they were thinking this Messiah is going to somehow come or drop from heaven and do some spectacular stuff. But you see, many times when you're looking into the heavy blast and action-packed sceneries, we might not find God there. Because the Bible tells us that even as, I think it was David, was looking for the voice of God, he couldn't get it until the Lord spoke to him in a whisper. So God doesn't come in a blast, but he comes in a still small voice. When we're going through activities in life and we want this pomp, we want a lot of noise, we want activity to be moving, sometimes we have to recline, we have to draw back and get into our closet and pray. Then there God will meet us and speak to us in a still, small voice. I don't believe that was, David. Because when the thunder came, no, it was Elijah. The Bible said when the thunder came, God was not in the thunder. When the rain, whatever noise came, God was not in it. But when the wind blew and there was that silent voice, God said to him, "Hey, what are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here?" He spoke to his servant. And, you know, Elijah said, "Well, I'm fed up, you know, this land, everybody has neglected you, God. You know, there is no prophet in the land except me, and me, I'm also exhausted and tired." God said, "Hey, Elijah, come on, hang on. You say you are the only prophet that has remained." He said, "I've got more over 450 prophets who have not bowed their knee to Baal." You see, God was telling Elijah that he had prophets, although he has not seen them. God had prophets, over 400 of them, who had never bowed their knee to Baal. What is Baal? Baal was a worship of the devil through an image called Baal. And so most of the so-called believers, through the enforcement of the king, had bowed their knee to those images. But God was telling Elijah, "I have more than 400 prophets in this land who have not bowed their knee to Baal." You see, our mind will deceive us. The things of God, you don't try to comprehend them with your natural thinking. If we are to go by natural thinking, maybe some of us would have quit a long time ago. Because, you know, when you go by natural thinking, it does not add up. You see? But you see, God's grace is there all the time. Sometimes we think we are the only ones shining. Here in Dallas, we are the biggest preachers of all time. We are the ones who are on radio. We are the ones who are on television. Everybody is following us behind us. They are trailing behind. But listen to me. They are not trailing behind. You don't know prophets like it happened to Elijah. You don't know those who are faithful to God, who pray day and night. You have never even heard their name. But God knows them. They are in this city of Dallas praying. You know, that's why, you know, sometimes you wonder, how come the power of God is falling so greatly on Ricky Rush? Somebody somewhere is praying. You see, it said that the prayer that were prayed many years ago in Europe came to move on the Wesley brothers, and they became mighty men and women of valor, crossing the continent of Europe to the United States. So do not confine God in your brain and think that's how God thinks and think that's how powerful God is, because you're limiting the power of the Most High. But the point I'm trying to make today is that this was a defense by the Apostle Paul, defending the very fact that God, through his mercy, had sent Jesus, who looks exactly like us human beings, yet without sin, to come and live in this world an exemplary life and to overcome death and test death for each and every believer, so that we don't have to go tested. We just have to leave this world and be in the bosom of our God and Father. Jehovah. And so we see here, the Apostle Paul is writing, encouraging the Hebrews. Listen to what he says there in chapter number 3, reading from verse number 1. He says, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all the house." See, here Paul, the apostle, is bringing some facts to the Jews. He says, "Wherefore, brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest." You see, Jesus is an apostle. An apostle simply means a sent one. He is an apostle sent to minister to the many and many different ethnicities and tribes of the world so that they can receive him and be saved forever and live in peace and bliss forever and ever, time without end. But you see, Jesus had to be recognized and accepted by the Jews. That's why here Paul is saying, please consider the apostle and high priest. Jesus is an apostle. Jesus is an high priest. An high priest who is greater than, you know, Melchizedek. See, the Bible says that he is the priest, or is a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Now, Melchizedek was the priest, a high priest who received bread and wine from Abraham when he came back from defeating the Chedorlaomers, and gave God a sacrifice from all his booty of the things he had obtained from fighting the enemy. So this army defeated the enemy, but you see, the Lord was with them. The Lord was with them by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we can see that God is faithful and is gracious, that he will let all those who call upon his name receive the life that they so require from him. You know, when you commit yourself to the Lord and say, "Lord, I ask your grace to abound upon me." When you do that, guess what? God will hear you. God will forgive you. God will grant you the grace to walk the tight path that we have. But you see, we have never comprehended the greatness of our Lord and what he passed through. Jesus, that's why here Apostle Paul is saying, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. Who appointed Jesus? Jesus was appointed by the Father. He's the one who appointed him. By the Father. And so we can see here that God, the Lord of grace, was a mighty God of mercy who performed wonders to prepare us to enter into eternity. And he had his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom he prepared for us to be an high priest. You know, sometimes we might think, you know, we understand the operations of God. But, you know, from the human perspective, we don't. We have to read the Word of God. We have to follow the Word of God. We have to study the Bible. When we study the Bible, then we will catch the mind of God. Then we will know what God is thinking. Then we'll know why God does certain things that he does. See, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, he said here in verse 3, for this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house, as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. You see, this hope that we have in the Lord is not something you just rejoice over a short time and then you forget it. It's a hope that we have to continue rejoicing over until the end, until God calls us to glory. Until God calls us to glory, we don't have to give up. You have to reach the end. You see, when there is a race, and these guys have got a sprint of maybe 200 meters or 100 meter dash, you know what? If you fall in between the starting point and the ending point, you have not won. You have not won the game. You have to, when that little gun is fired, to say, on your marks, get set, then bang, go. You have to run until you reach the end of the rope. If you do not, then you have failed. If you tumble and fall, you have still failed. And so it's important for us to realize that this walk of faith is a walk we have to reach to the end. You see? But you can see here it says, but Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of hope firm unto the end? Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. You see, here the Apostle Paul is bringing up these facts that the Father had already spoken about, that it was mandatory that Jesus had to be appointed by the Father to do his will. And so he's saying, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost says, today, if you hear his voice. You see, the writing of the letter to the Hebrews was a guide from the Holy Ghost. It was an assignment that the Holy Ghost had set for the Apostle Paul. And these arguments of him, Jesus being Lord and all, it was all set by God himself. And now he's saying that if those who listen and all those who hear about this grace do not hold on unto the end, they will not survive. They will not have life eternal. For he says there in verse 7, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith to you today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation. You see, there is a time when the Holy Spirit speaks to us. That's the time you have to yield. When God is telling you, we got to win Plano, we got to win Dallas, we got to win, we got to be on air. We got to be sensitive to what God is saying, because that's the only way we're going to be free and experience the greatness of God. But the moment we start to cut down on who Jesus is, we put aside his deity. Deity means his godliness. We keep doubting in our hearts if he's the true way and life unto the Father. When these things creep in, they will quench the Spirit of the living God. Because he says, I tell you, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if you hear my voice. See, the Holy Ghost speaks, and the work of the Holy Ghost is to convict the world of sin and to provide a way to righteousness. And that is through Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. You know, I had been searching for the Lord for many years before I got born again. But the goodness with me is my mother sent us to the Catholic Church. And so I had that church activity in my head. But I never surrendered to the Lord to have him as Lord and Master over my life. But now I can see, and I said to myself, oh, how great the God that set me free from that bondage. See, when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon us, everything becomes dim. Why? Because the Spirit of the Lord is greater than any image that might try and pop up and try to have access to us in our lives. Anything that would try to disrupt or try to put us in a bond or bondage, God who says is going to set us free. And so, you know, young men and women like to be playful and forget about the things of the kingdom. But I tell you what, life runs so fast. And if we do not take care about tomorrow, whatever will be taken care of will be shocked of how things will be. And so he says, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. The point here, the Apostle Paul is saying, is telling them how the children of Israel themselves survived in the wilderness. There is a voice there speaking, says, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. What's the provocation? It's the time when people doubted ever set them free. When the spies went to spy out the land, they came back with a bad report and said, we cannot go take in the land because there are giants in the land. That was a negative report which God was not pleased with. But you see, there were those who were full of the Spirit of God and said, no, we are well able to go and take the land. And so here we are, friends, going over the letter the Apostle Paul wrote hundreds and thousands of years ago. We are contemplating and thinking about the gravity of being a child of God. We are thinking and contemplating at about how God is great and how merciful he is. So realize, dear one, that God wants you to improve upon yourself, to learn more of his word, to mature in the things of God. You see, Isaiah had seen the Lord. All this time he was serving in the temple, nothing spectacular happened. Nothing spectacular happened. Then one day, I think he was in his home, thinking about the news and reflecting over his life. Suddenly, a noise came. And that noise woke him up to realize that there was a message coming from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You know, when the Lord speaks to us, we need to hear or take heed and wake up. Because if we neglect such a great salvation, I don't know what else will ever save us from calamity. That's why the Apostle Paul said, how can we neglect such a great salvation? How on earth can we do that? Because when we do, we are rejecting the source of all life. And so, you know, the quickest way for us to know the truth is to turn to the Word of God, like I said, and is to hear sound teaching. Because if you just have that slight wrong or any teaching full of error, that is gonna, you know, overthrow your ship. Your ship meaning your life. You're going to not have any restraints to pull yourself together and face the oceans. But the enemy would have defeated you. But the most important thing is to yield to God the Father. To yield to God the Holy Ghost. When we do that, the peace of God that surpasses human understanding shall envelop our mind and grant us the release in the spirit realms, in Jesus' mighty name. And so I challenge you, beloved ones, as we are looking at the life of Jesus, know this one thing, that as the Bible says, whereas I was grieved with the generation, and said they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Now, you see, God is getting upset with Israel, and it all boils down to the fact of trust. See, these rebels never trusted God enough to surrender their lives to Him and to walk the dangerous path of maybe where they can get hurt. But you see, Jesus is our divine protection. Whenever He assigns us to do something, He knows better than we do. He is the person taking care of all His children and handing them over to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so, friends, I challenge you in the name of the Lord. We've seen from the scriptures. He says, take heed, in verse 12, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold them together, or we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Here it all boils down to faithfulness. That's what the Apostle Paul is talking about. He's talking about faithfulness and describing the greatness of God. That, you know, the ones who are to serve the Lord, serve Him from the bottom of their hearts, they have to adhere to this call that was being granted and given by the body of Christ. So, dear ones, I challenge you in the name of the Lord. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. We see here that, you see, if you train your mind to memorize scripture, you will grow your mind, you know, memorizing scripture. It's important. He says there in verse 14, for we are made partakers, that is Hebrews 3, verse 14, for we are partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our churches steadfast unto the end. He's talking about people being faithful, not giving up when the struggle gets fierce, in a sense. And people start, you know, getting up afraid of the end and afraid of where they are. The solution to such kind of thinking is to commit your life immediately to the Lord. Come what may, God will still see you through, because He's on the throne, He's the God of mercy, and He's the God of miracles and wonders. So I challenge you, friends, to know that this book of Hebrews we are holding was penned by the Apostle Paul to get the children of Israel to make a second decision, or make a wise decision about Jesus. We have already received Him, and so He's our Master. I challenge you to receive Him and let Jesus be your Master. See, be your Master. For the Bible says, while it is said today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that they should not enter into the rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. God delivered them, but they never could enter into rest because of unbelief. God can deliver you, but you can never enter into your final gifting because of unbelief. Well, this is Bishop Dr. Lawrence Mwamba signing off and saying God bless you. We'll see you again, and bye-bye.